Welcome, everyone, to the Ira Kaufman Podcast, the home for Bucks fans all year long, featuring the custodian of Canton, Ira Kaufman, Tampa Tribune legend of the now defunct Tampa Tribune, and now a JoeBucksFan.com icon, working his way up with the status here at the website. Well, you're doing a good job, Ira, so far. We can pat you on the back. You're trying real hard, and we appreciate it.
Steve, I'm already working on Rondé Barber's presentation. I leave no stone unturned here.
Just make sure you drop Joe Bucks Fan on Russo once in a while.
I got you.
Ira, we got to get you cue cards. We need cue cards.
But you're in the Hall of Fame room. You're acknowledged.
I'd prefer Russo's 50,000 listeners.
There's a few listeners. More people listening to Russo than are in the room.
There's more listeners to our podcast.
We're teasing you.
Don't tell them that.
All right, Ira. Your podcast, the Ira Kaufman Podcast, is presented by Ed Morse Cadillac Tampa and Ed Morse Cadillac Brandon. Ed Morse Cadillac Brandon, Ira, is Brandon's only luxury dealership. Only luxury dealership in Brandon. You can find them at edmorsecadillacbrandon.com. And Ed Morse Cadillac Tampa, just west of 275 on Fletcher. edmorsecadillactampa.com is where to find them. Right now, you can buy with zero down and make no payments for 3 months. That's right. Take a vacation from payments at Ed Morse Cadillac Tampa or lease 2017 Escalades, $849 with zero dues, sign and drive. Your vacation starts now. Hurry in or click EdMorseCadillacTampa.com. Of course, approved credit, standard courtesy vehicle, 39 months plus tax, includes tag and title. You can get all the great details from the dealer, and that's Ed Morse Cadillac Tampa. We'll talk more about them later, Ira.
Steve, I caused a little stir in Houston last week because I wore my Ed Morse shirt, a red one, into the Hall of Fame selection committee room. They're not used to that. You know, they got next one guy's got Pittsburgh Post-Gazette over there, Philadelphia Daily News, you know, and here I come. Ed Morse Brandon, you know, Ed Morse Tampa, and everybody was wondering about it, and of course, they all asked the question, did you get a Cadillac, Kaufman? Did you get a Cadillac? And I go, Isbitz is working on it. That's all I can tell.
So the hall selectors and voters, they're focused on the job at hand, and they're wondering about your logoed polo shirt. What is going on?
Body.
You know, they were a little verklempt for a few minutes over there, really.
There we go.
There you go. I can't spell it, but there's your word for the day, Steve.
Now, when you said you curled the stir, I thought maybe you were going to say you threw your weight around in the line for smoked turkey, which
no,
was outstanding.
You know what,
there.
Steve? The meeting was supposed to start at 7:30. They said breakfast will be served at 7. I got there at 5 to 7. You know, there's 48 guys. 41 of them are in the room already. You know, 30 of them are online for the bacon. I thought I'd be one of my first. They ran out of bacon. By the time I get there, they got no bacon. You know, lucky
it wasn't kosher, so what?
Lucky they had a couple eggs for me, Steve. So I just want, you know, the Ed Morse shirt.
Caused a stir.
There was a little buzz in Houston.
The smoked turkey at the cavernous convention center was unreal, dude.
All right, Ira. So we're here on your podcast where we talk all things Bucks, NFL. If you're just joining us, just diving into the podcast. We let it loose here. Ira can't control himself, and he's much more restrained on Twitter, where you can follow him at iKaufman76. iKaufman76 on Twitter. Now, Ira, let me throw this at you first. As we sit here, we are just 23 days from the free agency dinner bell ringing. 23 days. I know you keep talking about the Bucks shouldn't be spending big bucks unless it's Calais Campbell from Arizona. As you've sort of soaked in the scene, soaked in the NFL landscape, thought more about the Bucks and their positioning here, what's your next target after Calais Campbell? What's your next target here, Ira? What are you thinking?
The word is strategic. That word sticks in your craw, Isbitz. You
not
don't
craw,
like
craw.
It, but I'm sticking with it. You know, Steve, just an overview on free agency. You know, it strikes me that, you know, we're 20 years down the road with free agency. And a lot of people thought that would be the end of the NFL if this is allowed. This can't be allowed.
That's what
it's
going to
kill
said.
The game.
Isn't that what Mike Ditka said?
But, you know, Steve, 2 decades later, it's been fantastic. Not only for the players, of course. They're making a lot more money than they ever would. Lee, it's part of what, you know, makes the NFL a year-round. There's more interest now in what's going on than during the Buck season. It's unbelievable.
You're not inaccurate that we have the traffic figures. Well, I'll tell you what Florio said. His busiest day of the year, his busiest day of traffic, the first day of free agency.
You know, Steve, the first week of March leading into free agency, it's going to be a frenzy around here. We might have to do 5 podcasts that week because, Buck, you know, don't forget, free agency, your success or failure in free agency, in a large measure, shapes your approach to the draft. There's no getting around it.
There's no question.
You fill a couple of needs, Steve.
Last year's perfect example. What a team does in free agency is kind of opening the door to what they will do in the draft.
Steve, if the Bucks didn't land Brent Grimes last March, would they have waited till the fifth or sixth round to draft a cornerback? Of course not.
Well, they got Hargraves, remember.
Yeah, and they got Hargraves, but they needed more than one.
Yeah,
they
I see what you're saying. Yes, sir. Yes,
They needed a total overhaul.
Yes, yes,
and,
yes.
And you're right, because Hargraves was too good to pass up. He was too good to pass
up. But, yeah, they would have got a guy no later than the third round, corner.
So, you know, I'm on the Calais Campbell bandwagon, Steve. I'm with you on that. Hate to agree with you guys on anything. I'm going to look at the offensive side of the ball and – there's going to be a running back in free agency, Lee. There's going to be a guy, you know, and I'm not talking about Adrian Peterson. I'm talking about a $7 million running back who every year that guy goes to a team and he gets 1,000 yards. There's one or two every year. A Chris Ivory. Every year there's a Chris Ivory.
DeMarco Murray,
you know,
had a good year.
Well, DeMarco Murray had 1,800 yards, I mean, for Dallas.
But I know, in Tennessee. Then he had a big year.
Yeah, but I'm saying he had a history, buddy. But
well, every $7 million running back has a history. Otherwise, he doesn't get $7
million. There's a what-if for you. And you kind of set me up here. Here's a what-if. You know, you were talking about if the Bucks don't get Grimes, they're not waiting to get Ryan Smith. Not saying Ryan Smith would be a third-round pick, but they would have drafted a cornerback earlier. If the Bucks don't get Grimes, is Roberto Aguayo on this roster?
That's a tremendous point.
Because, like you said, they would have drafted cornerbacks.
And they want to move back.
So it's Grimes' fault?
No. I know what you're getting at,
Steve,
but no. Nor is it Miko's fault either.
Excellent point by Mr. DeKemper. It's his first of 2017. There'll be more to come, Steve. There'll be more to come. But, Lee, they moved back.
Yes.
They moved back on Hargraves. And if they didn't have Grimes in the bank, Steve, I'm not sure they take that chance. They had good intel.
Yes. Good intel. Good point.
But there's always a chance you get screwed. Mm-hmm. Another team could come in. You know, it affects a lot of things. Mm-hmm. There's no question about it. So, Steve, I'm saying there's going to be a running back. If they don't get a running back in free agency, it's problematical, Steve. They're going to have to draft a guy in the first two rounds at running back,
yes.
I think.
Well, let me say this to you, Ira. And, you know, you talk about value and you're always worried about the Glazers' Brinks truck of money. And I'm sure Joel and Brian appreciate that.
You know, the franchise is only worth $1 billion, Lee. I'm a little worried.
Were they behind their taxes at the beachfront property in Boca?
This ain't the Cowboys we're talking about here, Steven.
Is Silver Springs that difficult to meet taxes with?
No, it's seriously, though. But this is it. And I want both of your takes on this because this is an issue that I think gets lost a lot by media. Seriously, in free agency, the Bucks are going to have targets, right?
Yes.
Now, you have targets. You don't always get them. You go after guys, and they don't always pick you.
That's right.
Okay? So you have – and the better free agents, they go in a frenzy. They're gone 1, 2, 3 days. So Jason Light, what he doesn't know right now is how attractive is Tampa? Am I going to target three free agents and they're all going to say, oh, yeah, I can come play with Jameis and Cutter and Mike Smith's awesome. And
friends, and a 9-7 team.
And the 9-7 and Drew Brees 100 years old. And you know, we don't know. That hasn't been the case around here in decades.
Since McKay got Simeon Rice.
So it's easy to say Jason Light's going to be look at value and strategy. But if he decides to make a play for three guys and they all say, sure, we're there. You can't have any credibility in the league by extending an offer to a guy and then pulling it. So we don't know. I mean, sometimes you lose on all your free agents. The Bucks, if you remember, they went after Trent Cole, the defensive end, the old Eagles guy, Light knew, and they missed him. He went to Indianapolis. They're probably very lucky that they did miss on him because he really hasn't done anything.
No factor. That's
but
right.
You don't know what they're going to hit. So how does that all factor into your thoughts on how this gets played out?
Well, Lee, you know, Steve said this a week or two ago on a podcast, and there's a lot of truth to it. But Steve said, look, let's not make this too complicated. For the most part, Lee, for the vast majority, they go where the money is. They go for the money.
Sure.
Steve, are you sticking to that? And Lee, do you agree with that?
If the money is comparable and they're on a winning team, that puts them over the top. But, yeah, the money's the big thing because they're looking for, you know, a lot of these guys, it's their last payday. That's their last payday in the NFL as a player.
Steve,
so,
if the Bucs really want Calais Campbell, if they do, and we won't know till we sit down with Jason Light over a couple of brewskis, which might happen. But, Lee, if they really want the guy, they should not be outspent. Am I wrong? They should not be outspent.
Make with all it. Their salary cap room? Of course not.
Well, I don't disagree with you. I mean, there's always a limit. I mean, that sounds nice. But you say the money, though, but if three teams are making the same offer to the same guy, that's where the difference comes in. And that was pretty much the case with Trent Cole. As an example, they were right there with the money. He said, no, I want to go to Indianapolis. Brent Grimes had seven or eight suitors.
Steve, to answer your question, things have changed in Tampa. They're 9-7. They seem to be on the rise. They just got beat out of the final playoff spot in the NFC. They got a 23-year-old quarterback that a lot of teams would love to have. Things have changed, Steve.
When
people look at the Bucs differently.
When Cole went to Indianapolis, weren't they coming off AFC championship appearance?
They were.
Yeah.
That counts.
Yeah.
That matters. Who the heck wanted to come to the Bucs 3 years ago?
Josh McCown.
You know.
Because no one else would give him a job.
Yeah. Was there a frenzy for Anthony Collins? I hope not.
Well, yeah, I'm sure there was a bidding war for Brandon Myers and Alteron Verner.
You know.
Well, no, look, you can always get guys. But I think Jason Light has to be extra strategic, and the Glazers obviously work very closely. I would think, do you think Team Glazer gets a basically Light's target list, and he says, hey, these are the three guys we're going all in for? And they say, well, let's hope we get one or two.
I think they want to know, Lee. I think they want to know the strategy. They want to know who the Bucs are interested in. I don't think they're the point where they're going to mess with Light and Cutter because they've done a nice job the last couple of years in bringing in talent. Let's be honest.
Once Jason Light threw his muscle around at one Buck and wrested control of player personnel from Lazy Lovey, he's done a fine job.
I think he's learned from his mistakes, Steve. And they were egregious free agent mistakes. I had a little chat with Mr. Jason Light a few weeks ago, and I'll share it with our listeners. Our millions of listeners, Steve, our growing list of listeners. And I said to him, you know, look, everybody makes mistakes. But I said, Jason, you didn't do your homework on Collins. And he goes, what do you mean? And I said, he goes, what do you mean? And I said, bad guy, bad teammate. I'm not talking about that he wasn't a good left tackle. Bad chemistry. Where's the homework? And he goes, live and learn.
I was told, and I can't see exactly.
And you can't pin that on Lovie Smith. You can't.
Well, he had final say.
Final say.
I had heard from someone who works in NFL. He's a suit, NFL suit, a team suit. And he told me Anthony Collins had a special reputation that is not exactly, doesn't exactly warm himself to general managers.
So why didn't that reputation reach the ears of the Bucs?
And maybe they conveniently overlooked it.
Steve, he's out of football.
That's old news already. You know, we're 23 days away. Offensive line. Do the Bucs, Joe Hawley, do the Bucs? There's not much out there on the center market.
I can upgrade center. I'm doing it. Hawley's adequate.
Well, but you have to.
I want better.
You can upgrade in the draft, but you have to make a decision on Hawley. Do you lock him up? Because you need a center, you go to draft one and say Evan Smith's got one more year left. Because remember, we listened over and over again, Ira, in preseason. We listened, and Dirk Cutter consistently said, well, Joe Hawley, Evan Smith, that's a toss-up. That's a toss-up. He even put them on the stupid depth chart that doesn't matter. He put them as co-number one centers, which I've never seen on that little depth chart. Do they just roll?
Didn't Lovie pull a stunt like that?
I think you keep one and you let one go, Lee, probably. Now, I'll say this. Based on the running attack of the 2016 Bucs between the tackles, they need an upgrade. They need an upgrade on run blocking between the tackles. It was not nearly good enough, Steve. It wasn't nearly good enough. I'm sorry.
Ali Marpet, do you believe in this move from him to center? Do you believe that this happens?
I do not. Ooh. Lee, that doesn't mean he can't do a decent job. I'm not messing with a guy who I think's on the cusp of being a Pro Bowl right guard. I'm not messing with him. He has no experience at center. Zero.
No.
He didn't play it at Hobart. I don't even think he played it in high school.
Well, he didn't have experience at right guard either. And look what he did. Remember, the Bucks have a boatload invested in the rumor known as J.R. Sweezy.
I'm not moving in an effort to get Sweezy and Kevin Pamphile, neither whoever will get a bust in Canton, on the field at the same time. That to me is not enough of a trigger to move Ali Marpet.
So you move Sweezy to, or excuse me, you move Pamphile to right tackle?
You move Sweezy to the Buffalo Bills. That's what you do.
You admit you made a mistake?
Who wants a guy a year off back surgery? Let's have some common sense reality here. He hasn't practiced.
Hasn't practiced, period. He hasn't practiced.
He hasn't practiced since he left Seattle. Practiced? I mean, what are we looking at?
Never
here?
Snapped the chin strap on.
And you know what? He was a converted defensive end, was a great story at right guard for the Seahawks. The Bucks had him pegged for left guard. So he's never even taken a snap at left guard. And so, okay, so they move him to right. Then you're going to force Marpet over there. What if he plays three games and sucks at center?
I think the Bucks like the potential of Pamphile at left guard. Truly.
Well, the thing that I can't get out of my head, the weekend that Light drafted Ali Marpet, he stood at the podium in One Buck Palace and said to the world, he can play center.
He did.
That I can't get out of my head.
I agree with you on that. Steve, am I wrong? Or midway through the season, or it might have been at the bye week, there was a suggestion from the Buck coaches, might have come from Cutter, that Kevin Pamphile graded the highest among the offense. Am I wrong, Steve?
That was at the bye week.
Okay.
Did you say the bye week? I didn't catch
it. I said midway or the bye week.
Yeah, it was at the bye week, and he sort of said it. Hey, you wouldn't believe it, but it was Kevin Pamphile was a top-graded lineman. That's actually one of the things I wanted to ask Cutter when we see him next coming up. Back to free agency and just the general look from the Buccaneers. You've got a team that has holes. And if you just look at it as holes – that can't be guaranteed in the draft. Are you gonna go sign two receivers in free agency and let them all compete, even if that means Adam Humphries might have to compete and sit out ride the bench? Or are you going to gamble on the draft? Because Jason Light's a guy who needed offensive linemen a couple of years ago. He didn't take one in free agency, put his balls on the table, and gambled in the draft and got Marpet and Smith. You think they gamble like that again?
Lee, I'm looking at the wide receivers in free agency, and Cutter could not have been more clear, Lee.
They need weapons.
But what he's looking for, he's very, very detailed about what he's looking for. It's got to be a guy who's got game-breaking ability. He's not looking for another possession receiver. Adam Humphries is more than adequate in that regard. So it's got to be the right kind of receiver. I don't believe the guy's got to be 6'4" either.
I'll give Humphries credit. Last month of the season, he turned it on, but still they lacked the receiver. Would it be nice to have a burner? Sure. A competent NFL receiver, that's all they need. Competent. I'm not talking about a dude who plays in a big band knockoff in Vero Beach. I'm not talking about a guy who brings your wife back and forth to her medical appointments. I'm talking about a legitimate NFL receiver.
I don't think this draft is particularly overflowing with great wide receiver talent, Steve.
I think depth.
Maybe depth.
There's some talent.
You know what? You know when they say depth, you know what that means? There's not a lot of studs. That's what it means when you say depth.
I'm going back to what Isbeth hounds you for. Value in the draft of wide receiver.
So you're saying maybe third round. That's what you're saying.
Second or third round.
Well, every draft has good receivers in it. You got to pick the right guys. Like free agency, you can say, oh, it's the devil, it's this. Pick the right guy, and it's wonderful.
Steve, we're not having any problems, the three of us, trying to delineate.
That's good. Not as good as the one you had earlier.
What the needs are, Steve. And what's beautiful from a Buck perspective is they had seven areas of concern, you know, 3 years ago, and now they got three or four. They're whittling it down, and as Jason Light told us, you can't do everything at once, Steve. They're chopping away, chopping wood. There's a pretty good chance they can address their needs by this offseason, I think.
So two receivers in free agency or one?
One.
One receiver.
One receiver.
A true number two guy or a guy you just think – is a number three who can compete for a number two, or you go get a number one like DeSean Jackson, or even
I think they got a guy that they feel can complement what they got. That doesn't mean that the guy's got to be 6'5". They got one of those guys, but it does mean, as Cutter said, take a 12-yard pass and make it 40. Yes. That's what Dirk Cutter
explosive
wants.
Explosive plays.
That's what Cutter wants.
You know, it's interesting. You look at what...
And there aren't a lot of those guys around, Steve. There's not a lot of those guys.
No. For some reason, I end up watching a lot of Rams football. Don't ask me why.
Our sympathies.
But Tavon Austin is such an electric talent, and some of the things they do with him, you know, he's lined up in the slot, and then he takes a handoff, runs for a touchdown. The guy's done a lot of really neat things, creative stuff. I'd like to see, I think if they had another better receiver, a real number two, they'd be able to do more creative stuff with Charles Sims.
Of course.
That they just can't do right now. I don't know. It's very interesting as we get closer to the approach.
Lee, they're having problems spreading out the opposing defenses.
Big time.
When you look what Atlanta did with Shanahan this year,
there's no comparison.
You didn't know where the ball was going. You didn't know where it was going.
Yeah, I mean, with the Bucs, you knew where it was going.
And Cutter wants to be able to, you know, have that kind of an offense.
Lee, do you bring Lewis Murphy back? Let him compete for a job.
Yeah, he'll come cheap. Yeah. I mean, you know, when he was healthy, he was a decent number three guy.
Depth.
I'm not saying outstanding. He was decent. Good bench, a good character guy. Obviously gets along with Jameis well. Good work ethic. You'll get him at a bargain because he's coming off a knee injury.
Yeah, he's healthy.
Yes.
He's
Steve,
healthy.
Would you consider, and I'll give you the name of a veteran, and I'm not a lot of people, I think I like this guy more than other people do.
Roddy White?
Ted Ginn?
Ginn? He can stretch the field and he can
Steve,
return.
He could return some kicks.
Ginn's a no-brainer.
He's sort of a home run hitter.
But here's the problem, and we all sit here having the same problem. The problem is we hear a name, we're like, oh, man, that guy's better than Russell Shepard and Josh Huff. Oh, my God. I mean, he's better than Bernard Reedy. And we're just rattling off the list of bad names. You know, they got this guy.
That's how bad the Bucs were.
So are you saying that there's going to be a lot of interest in Ginn, that they have to fight for him?
Well, there will be interest in Ginn because he can play football and he can return kicks. And
you know, I think he caught 10 touchdowns 2 years ago for the Panthers when Kelvin Benjamin didn't play.
Yeah, I mean, he was thrust into that number one receiver role, and he shocked the world by actually performing like a number one receiver. They do need a kick returner. Punt returner, somebody to have some sort of threat.
He's very dangerous on that. He's dangerous,
but he's older now as well.
Yes.
So, I mean, any name is better than the garbage names that we've had. But do you think, Ira, you think they actually like a Josh Huff and want to have him, see him as a guy, let him get into training
camp? There's no way you can bank on him being a starting receiver.
There's no way you could say that, but they did. Look who they banked on last year.
Well, I agree, the
mentality of these guys. You know, I don't know.
They thought Jackson was going to be around.
They thought Murphy was going to come back.
Yeah.
Strikeout one, strikeout two.
There's no tangible reason to think that Huff's going to be a quality NFL player at this point. He's got no pedigree. Now they see him in practice every day. Lee, from what we've seen from Huff, he's a work in progress.
Yeah.
You know.
He's a work. I don't know how much progress we got going on there. All right, Ira, your podcast presented by Ed Morris Cadillac Tampa. And Ed Morris Cadillac Brandon, let's get back. We took some questions, that we couldn't get to on your last podcast. Ira, this one comes from Twitter, and these are all on Twitter. Guy with a handle, Cousin Eddie. I don't know if he's your cousin.
Cousin Eddie.
Ooh. I don't know if he's your cousin or if he's Jason Light's cousin.
That's not to be confused with Cousin It.
What do you got, Isbitz? What do you got?
Because the question is about Mr. Light. He wants to know if you, Ira, have heard any chatter about Jason Light getting a contract extension. And this Cousin Eddie also asks, would Jason Light get run if the Bucs win less than 9 games next year? Would he be ousted?
I'm going to speak up for Jason Light here, Lee. I think it's time to seriously consider an extension.
And for all we know, he has been.
Yes. Guys, he's brought talent in. You know, the Marpets, the Smiths. Jameis, of course, and some Buck fans didn't want Jameis Winston, let's be honest. Mike Evans.
Quan.
These are big-time players, Steve. They're big-time players.
Brate, didn't he bring Brate in?
He did.
I like the potential of Noah Spence. I got no problem with Noah Spence.
Took a chance on him, so far so good.
He's brought players in, Steve. You know, struck out in free agency. Nobody's going to say anything about
year.
That first year. No, nobody's going to say anything in favor of him, including Jason Light. He doesn't make any excuses, Lee.
Like he always said, you learn from your mistakes and move on.
He dropped the ball.
Dropped the ball.
So, you know, his contract's about to expire. He's got a year left, Steve?
That's what we believe.
I would not be surprised in this offseason if he's extended, Lee. It would surprise me if he isn't. I don't think he should go into the year as a lame duck.
No, he shouldn't.
It's interesting, you know. With we know the Bucks have raised expectations now. The fans have it. Everybody's got it. You go 9-7 with a good young team. You got raised expectations. They locked up Mike Smith. The Glazers are expecting a playoff berth next year. Are we all in agreement in that?
Yes.
Okay.
And the Glazers like the fact that they have cornerstones that can get that second contract, which they pride themselves on, mm-hmm. the Glazers. You know, we want those cornerstones. And, Steve, it looks like they've got some.
A bunch of them.
A bunch of them. Now, I'll say this. Lee, think about this. Suppose Aguayo is okay in training camp, and they decide to go with him, Steve, and he costs them a couple of games next year, and they fall a little short of a playoff. That's not going to look good on the Jason Light resume, Steve. It's just not.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think they're going to have any rush to re-sign Jason Light just because the expectations are so high. I don't think the Glazers would sit around the coffee table and say Jason Light is our Super Bowl GM. I think they might want to see one more year. I think they might want to see that last year because they're in that Super Bowl mindset.
Can he back it up?
It's no knock on Light. I think they want to see this guy. They would see one more year.
Lee, they haven't had two back-to-back winning seasons since Chucky was around.
That's
not since
criminal.
Chucky. Yeah.
I mean, there's a lot to prove. You know, Cutter's got a lot to prove. Everybody's got a lot to prove. But they've proven a lot so far.
So far, so good
so
with
far,
Cutter.
So far,
Steve, so good.
Very good. But, yeah, I don't think Light's on any kind of hot seat. I don't want to paint that impression. No hot seat. But ownership might be looking, okay, let's see that fourth year, Jason. They might, and like Lee said, for all we know, they have a fifth-year option on his contract. I think if they re-signed him already, we would have heard about it. They'd be proud of it. Everybody would be proud of it. And free agents would also want to know that the potential free agents would want to know that the GM's not going to be out of here.
Lee, had they gone 5-11 in 2016, Light could either be gone already or clearly would go into 2017 with his make-or-break year.
John Lynch could be the GM at that point.
Absolutely.
All right, well, we're going to wrap up the podcast here, Ira, as the planes fly in from overhead. Any parting thoughts, Ira? Any parting thoughts?
I just think it's a very exciting time of year, Steve. And as your numbers show, there's more interest right now in the website, the podcast with me and the commish. Steve, not a bad time to be a Buck fan. Boy, the next few months are going to be exciting.
All right, Ira. I know you'll have some juice next time, and we'll have some fun. Your podcast presented by Ed Morris Cadillac Tampa and Ed Morris Cadillac Brandon. Don't forget to subscribe to Ira's podcast on iTunes. Do a search for Bucks or Buccaneers or Ira, and you'll find it right there. You get a nice alert. Same thing on podbean.com. Ira, lay off the donuts and bring a little more next time. Come on, Ira.